God is good. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to, again, turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter, the end, Matthew 20. There it is. Okay, I'm going back. You know, the Great Commission, okay? Go with me to Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. We're doing the Harvest Series. This is the end of the Harvest Series. It's our focus on mission. Last week, we talked about the why, okay, and why we're doing what we're doing, and I gave you three things from Matthew chapter 9, beginning in chapter 9, verse 35. We said we're praying for partners to go to the lost, right? Everything we're trying to do has to be guided in prayer and be built up in prayer. If not, we're kind of like, ugh, why are we doing this? And were you here this week, Thursday? How many of you guys were here Thursday? All right, it was an awesome night, right? It really was. Pastor Rob killed it. He had a great night of prayer. Come out for those. Those are going to be critical for what we do and how we do it, right? But we're praying for partners to go to the lost, okay? And then we're talking about praying just like you would see the way Christ sees, with compassion, right? That when we look at the lost, then we don't see them with critical eyes, but we see them with compassionate eyes. And then lastly, we were praying for partners to answer the call to go. We need people to go. That is the why, because the world is lost. Today we're going to focus on our what, okay? We're answering the why and the what. Those are two critical things to do. So again, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. You're there? Remember, you have to talk back to me. This doesn't work if you just stay there and listen, okay? You have to talk back. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We ask that you would speak to your people, encourage every heart to hear. Oh, just everything. Slow the whole thing down, Lord. We thank you again. We praise you. Amen. I have to write something here. Okay? There it is. All right. How many of you guys been watching the college playoffs? Okay, I'm the only one. I was watching the other one. I saw the Penn State Notre Dame game. I think I watched it at 3 a.m. because I recorded and I woke up for some ungodly reason. And I was watching it a little bit. And if you notice on the field, right, it's the offense versus the defense, right? Right? Say right?
Right.
Okay. What they don't want to do is give up the score. In case you haven't seen, I'm not going to give you the score in case you haven't seen it, okay? But these two teams were clashing on the field, going back and forth, right? And if you looked at these guys, amazing young men, 18 to 20 years old, right? And there was one, he had a knee brace. And I freaked out because he had it out on one of the knees. And he hurdled one of the guys who was probably, for me, 5 feet, 6 feet tall. And he hurdled them easy. And then in midair, I think the knee brace was on the right leg. And he's like, man, if I get down on that right leg and hit, he adjusted and came down on the left and kept going. I'm like, ooh, that's sick. That's nasty. That's amazing, right? Yeah. Young man, powerful, very tall, very athletic, very fit, okay? That's what they are. These two teams going back and forth. But there's another team on the field, and they're called the referees, right? These men are not young. They're old. They're not fit. They're fat. Okay? All right? They're not powerful, but what they do have is this one thing called power or authority. Okay? And they're there to represent another thing called the NCAA. The NCAA is headquartered in Indianapolis at 1700 Washington Street. But the purpose of the referees is to make sure that the rules are enacted no matter what's going on. They're not there for either team. They're there to make sure that, hey, 700 Washington Avenue's rules are dictated on this field, right? And they're going to get booed by by everybody. Ah, that call was terrible. And then the other group is going to go, yay, that call was great. But they're not worried about getting booed. Because what do they have to do? They have to fill out the rules and do the things that 700 North Washington in Indianapolis says. That's their purpose on that field. God is looking for a team of you and I to go out into this world and not worry about if we get booed or not, but to do the commands of the kingdom of God in this world. Okay? That's what we're called to do. And as the world goes back and forth and it clashes left and right, we're here to say, hey, no, but here's what the rule book says. Okay? We're here to do this rule book and implement it and shine the light. Okay? That's what God is looking for that team. Amen? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here's the idea. Here's the big idea of the text. Disciples are commissioned. You and I are commissioned under Christ's authority to make more disciples, knowing that Christ is with us to the very end. You and I have one job. One job. Here's our what. We are called to be disciples that make disciples. That's it. ¿Lo entiende? Am I saying it right for your mama? She hears me? Okay. Am I good, mommy? Okay. She's like, yes, you're good. Disciples, right? What is that? A disciple is a student and a follower. A disciple is someone that says, hey, I'm playing by this rule book. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm doing. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if I get booed. That's my job, okay? We're supposed to be disciples that are making disciples, and Christ is calling us to be disciples, okay? That's what he is. You and I are disciples. We're student and followers of Christ. So how do we make disciples? Let me go back a little bit to verse 16 and 17. Follow along with me. It said, Christ called a meeting after his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven. He says, meet me here, right? He tells the 11 disciples. Remember, there's 11 now because we lost one. Anybody know who his name was? Judas, right? Now, I don't know if Judas was faking it. I don't know if he was pretending. I don't know if he saw an opportunity and he took it. I just know that the text says Satan used him to bring about the crucifixion of Christ. But that was always the plan. Not that Christ instituted it, but Christ knew, hey, I know this guy's going to betray me, so I'm going to let him do what he's going to do. Why? Because it's going to get me to the mission field. It's going to get me to accomplish. My mission is that is to die. So the 11 were called up to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And I didn't realize this. Remember, this is super cool. Remember the time when, who sees Christ first? It's Mary, right? And he sees Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, don't touch me yet. I haven't what? Anybody remember? Ascended to my Father. So in studying, here's the section. He ascends. Mission accomplished, Daddy. I got it. He goes, okay, now go back down and get him ready. And he comes back down and he spends 40 days with us. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And here he is. We're in 40 days of prep, right? They're getting to the mountain. And it says this in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Could he have been making a reference to Thomas here? Could have been. Could there have been others like Thomas who were doubting? Possibly, but it doesn't matter what. You might be here this morning and you might have come in here. Hey, Christ, I'm here to worship you. But you don't understand. There's a lot of things that are going on in my heart and in my mind. And there's doubt, there's fear, there's struggle. And I'm saying it's okay. It is okay. Okay? That is not sin to doubt. It is being human, okay? Come and let's worship together and see how good he is. And I pray that God will just help you in your doubt. Amen? So this is what's happening. Here's the context that's going on. And don't be afraid, because when they get to the mountaintop, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 6 records that there was at least 500 people there. So imagine this congregation 3.5 times bigger, okay? And they were all there worshiping the king, about 488 plus the 11 disciples. And they were there giving him glory and honor. So here's the first thing I want to teach with you from the text. Number one. Ready? Do we have it? Disciples are commissioned under Christ's authority. Okay? They are commissioned under Christ's authority. Jesus said to them, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. The key word here is that word authority. That is the key word. Right? That's where Christ says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Now, this word authority, usually we know this. When I say it to you, you're going to know it. In the original Greek, this is the most popular word. The word is called dunamis. Anybody know what other word comes from dunamis? Dynamite, right? This is a powerful word. It means power. It means authority, okay? But that's not the word used here. The word used here is another different word. And it's funny because I was studying. I was like, wait a minute, I remember that. And before I could look it up, I was like, I know what that word is. It's called the exousia, okay? Exousia. And exousia is different. It's still power, but check this out. It is power with authorized use. You understand? It's power, but I have authority to use it, okay? And this is what Christ is saying, hey, I'm giving you because all authority has been given to me. My Father gave it all to me. So everything in heaven and on earth is under me. Guess what? I'm in charge. And this is what I'm giving to you. I'm giving you authorized use of my power. All right? So when we don't go in our strength, but we go in his strength. And again, let me go back to those referees, right? I told you, the players were stronger, more powerful. They had power. But what the referees have is exousia. All right? They say, yeah, you can knock me down, but I can kick you off the field. Okay? So who do you think has power, right? I got a whistle and a yellow flag. You got shoulder pads. That's okay. You got to go, right? That's what they're doing. They have power. Look at Matthew chapter 8, going back to last week's illustration. Remember what the centurion said to Jesus? He says, for I am a man under what? Exousia. Okay, with soldiers under me, I say to one, go. And he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes. And he tells Jesus, you can't come into my house. You're like, I know who you are. I recognize who you are. All you got to do is give the command. Just say it. And Jesus says, oh, what did he say about the centurion? He said, this man, I've never seen anyone in all of Israel that has faith like this one, because he understood. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what Christ is telling us? Did you get authorized use of this? Okay? And then in Matthew 9:6, okay? But to show you that the Son of Man has exousia, he says, watch this. Remember, they bring the four people down, right? They bring the guy through the roof, right? And then the Pharisees are talking bad. And Jesus says, why are you doubting me? To show you that the Son of Man has authority here. Which one's easier, to forgive sins or to tell a man, get up and walk, right? And the guy's like, only God can forgive sins. He goes, okay, I'm going to show you the greater by proving the latter. And he tells the guy, get up and walk. And when he does, he's like, ooh, he gets up and walk. Everybody's like, yay! And he goes, see, I told you, I have authority. This is mine. I don't know about you, but I told you, I get to serve as a chaplain in corporate America. It's pretty cool. All right? And one of my companies said, hey, we're going to give you, as a bonus, just because, we want to bless you, we're going to give you 4 tickets to the Cubs game. And I was like, yes! And then they go, hey, and by the way, here's your private parking. So we go to the Cubs game, right? And we're driving. I'm like, yeah. And I took my family. And we're like, man, we're going to go to a Cubs game. He goes, but this is not, you know, we're not sitting here. We're sitting up there. Right? You ever seen those people, like, in their nice little private rooms? Right? So he goes, watch this. So he goes, use this ticket and show them the ticket. So I drive, and I get to the parking lot. Guess who I'm parking next to? The Cubs. The players are right next to me. Yeah? And I show them the ticket, and the guy goes, yep, come right in. Yeah? And I get to park, and we're walking out, and we're like this. Here's the Cubs right there. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Look at him. You know? And then he goes, okay, sir. Then there's a gate, there's a guard there. And he goes, okay, go to that door right there. We go to that door, and there's a guy there, private guy. He goes, show me your tickets. He goes, oh, Mr. Smith, welcome. And I'm like, I'm changing his name, okay? That's not him. And I say, I go, no, I'm not with Smith. He goes, but you got the tickets. I go, yeah, I'm with Mr. Smith. He goes, then come right in. And I come right in, and he takes me to a private elevator. He goes, opens up the door, push the button. I go straight up to this thing, floor, and there's everything is like everything, you know? Heaven, I mean Cubs, you know. There's trophies, there's the World Series trophy, there's a store, you know, there's a bar. I don't drink, but there was one there, you know. And I was like, man, and then the guy goes, come right at me. And then I'm walking, we're walking down this hallway, and everything to the right are these private skyboxes, that's the word, yes. Yeah, where are the skyboxes? And all these people are like, yes, having fun. And he goes, here you go, you're right here. And we walk into a skybox. There was no joke, the size of this sanctuary right here. And everything on the left here, there was food from here all the way to over there. And my son and my daughter were like, yes, you know? They're like, yes, you know? And then the guy comes in, he goes, you could sit anywhere you want. There's TV, plasma TVs, but right outside the door, you can look through the window, is your private seats, and you can watch the game from out there, or you can watch it from in here. And I'm like, this is nice. This is like, man, this is super cool, you know? And then my son goes, all of this is for us? I go, yep, enjoy. And they were like, yes, and they were just picking out. I was going to show pictures, but it would have been embarrassing, you know? And we're enjoying it. And then he goes, but Dad, do we have to leave early? I go, no, because when we leave, we go back to our private little parking spot, and we get out immediately. So by the time everybody else is finishing, we're already halfway home. Don't worry about it. See, all of that happened not because of me. It's because I was with him. I was representing them, and they had given me their authority. And it's like, hey, you just here. Show them the ticket. You're with us. And I'm like, yes. And this is what Christ says. Hey, you're with me. You're with me. And because you're with me, you get all the privileges of being with me. Okay? That's what he's saying. That's what you do. That's what we do. A couple years ago, I was with, when I was, oh my God, this was years ago. This was 30 years ago, easy. When I was working in Chicago Public Schools, I was the security officer. Could you believe little me? Right? Right? So I had 2,000 students plus about 350 teachers and staff. Okay? Very hard school, you know, very roughneck school. But praise God, the kids came to know me as the pastor of the campus. You know, got to lead tons of kids to Christ and teachers, right? It was real lots of fun. I had to fly to Puerto Rico one day. I was flying to Puerto Rico. I get to the airport and I get to the counter. And the lady goes, oh, hi. Welcome, Mr. Valentin. And coming to my right was one of my former students. And my friends were like, hey, Mr. Valentin. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? They're like, good, they're good. And I was like, nice, you know, this is cool. And she tells the other one, hey, hook him up. Give him one of my seats. And I'm like, I go, you sure? She goes, yeah. And then she goes, Mr. Valentin, you've been upgraded to first class. I was like, oh, first class. I've never flown first class. And right, so I'm like, oh my God. So I get into the plane, and Chris, you get on the plane first, right? So I get in the plane first, I sit down, and I'm in a chair, right? Real nice, and it's leather. And it's big and wide. And then this lady, the stewardess comes up to me, and she has a plate with roll towels and a pair of steel tongs, and she hands it to me, and I'm going, I don't know what to do with this. And she goes, it's there to clean. She goes, clean your face. and then clean your hands. So I wipe my face, I clean my hands, I give it back to her. She grabs it with the tongs, she puts it here. She goes, would you like champagne or orange juice? Guess what I did, right? Orange juice, right? You know why I did orange juice? I wanted champagne. I'm not going to lie. I'm confessing I wanted to drink champagne because I'm never going to do this again, and I wanted the full experience. But I had to drink orange juice. Why? Because I'm going to Puerto Rico, and I'm Puerto Rican, so there's at least one or two other Puerto Ricans that are going to get on this plane that I know, all right? And they're going to say, oh, my God, did you see Pastor Santiago? He was drunk in first class. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was part of the thing. It was the champagne that comes with first glass. So I drank the orange juice so that I could represent good, right? So I'm sitting there drinking my orange juice. I wish it was a mimosa, but I didn't know about mimosa that time, right? And I'm drinking my orange juice, and as I come by, I see not one person that I know, not two people I know, not three people I know, not four, six people, okay? Six people walk by me, and they all had this look, and they're like, you? And they're like, yeah, me. Get to the back, you know? And I was like, and then, I get to get off the plane, a great thing. And then later on, I saw the same people in the neighborhood, and they go, how did you get to first class? I said, it wasn't me. I'm with her. And because I'm with her and she has authority, all the privileges pass to me. You understand? Do I got to make it any more clear? No. All authority's been given. He says, all authority's mine. I'm giving it to you. It's his rule. It's his world. Okay? We're just a squirrel trying to get a nut in it. It's okay. It's his. All authority's given. And I commission you to go. That's what he does. That's what we talk about authority. Number two. Ready? He says this. Disciples are commissioned to make disciples. This is how we do it. Verse 19 and 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Okay? The imperative here, meaning imperative, it's a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not when you feel like it. This doesn't mean if you're gifted in it. This is for everyone. Okay? Understand that? It's in the imperative form, meaning doesn't matter if you like it or not. Just like the Ten Commandments, here's the commandment. Make disciples. Okay? But they have these things called participles, and I forgot what they are. But the participles are go, baptize, and teach. And the purpose of the participle is to give you the methodology of the imperative. Okay? The imperative is make disciples, but how? Go. It reads really, as you are going, okay? As you are going through life, make disciples of all nations. This is the key exhortations, okay? We have to go. Like I told you, it's written on the wall. We go to the lost. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is our heartbeat. This is Pastor Dell's heartbeat, okay? Everything that we do is about going, not about gathering. Yes, we're going to gather to grow right now. And then I'm going to say, go. And guess who's waiting for you on the other side of that wall? That team we're talking about, right? And they're going to try to block you from making touchdowns for Jesus. But who has the authority? Say that again. Who has the authority? Okay, that's like 10 people, okay? Who has the authority? You guys do. We do. So when we go out to the world, we go not in our own authority and our own power, but in his power. But we got to go. You got to go. We got to go to Buffalo Grove and to Palatine and to Long Grove. And I think Lake Zurich's that way. And who's up this way north? Anybody know? Mundelein. Yeah, we got to go there too. Lake Zurich. We got to even go to Waukegan. They're like, we got to go to Waukegan. Yeah, we got to go to Waukegan. Yeah, we got to go. We got to go. This is the apostolic mission, right? In the Old Testament, he commissioned the Jews, right? But now in the church age, it's the Jew and the Gentile. It's the church age now, and it's time for us to go. And I praise God, it's not just us, okay? We're made up of Jew, Gentile, black, white, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter. The commission is to go, okay? Go. Everyone is to reach at work, at school, in their neighborhood, okay? Here at Long Grove, we're not going to play. We're going to tell you this, and we're going to, oh my God, we're going to make you, you're going to get sick of hearing this, but praise God, you're going to go. But I don't know how to go. We're going to train you. Okay? We're going to teach you. We're going to empower you. And then you're going to go. Okay? Everyone's going to be reaching everywhere. Second thing, he told him to go and baptize, right? This is the word baptizo. Now, in the New Testament, they would have a dye maker, right? You would go to the dye maker. And this guy had all these color different dyes. Remember? Did anybody used to dye shirts when they were younger, right? Right? You would buy the little thing. It was called Rit, was it? Yeah, at the Jewel. You could still buy and you could paint colors and you could turn shirts. Especially we would get the white ones and twist them all up and throw them in different colors and come out with rainbow shirts, right? It was fun. This is what the lady comes to. She goes, she brings you the cotton, the cloth, and she gives it to the dye maker. He goes, what color would you like? And he baptizes it. Okay? And then he comes out what? The same? Different. Because now you've been transformed. You went from this color to this color. You went from this to that. And this is what he's saying. I remember this. And again, sorry. They taught us this. When I went to the Marine Corps, right, you get all these different kids, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids from all over the country, sometimes even the world, right? I had friends from Mississippi. Couldn't understand them, but I had them, right? Yeah? Love them. You know? Yeah, you know? And they broke us down. The purpose of boot camp is they break you down because you come with all our stupidities and our prejudices and our ignorance. And he goes, we get rid of all of that, and what we build is Marines. Boom, boom, boom. And one day we were working out, and me and my friend, he happened to be a black guy, right? The drill instructor's job is to thrash you, is to make your life miserable. So he had us working out in the dirt. And then we would take the dirt and throw it up and make it rain. He goes, make it rain, ladies, make it rain. And we would throw the dirt up into her and it would cover us. And me and my friend were doing sit-ups together. And then we locked arms together and we were helping each other up. And we're doing sit-ups together. And he goes, oh, what do we have here? What are we doing? And we're like, we're doing sit-ups, you know? And he goes, who told you could do that? And I stupidly said, you did. And he looked at me, he goes, oh, Mr. Helper, why did I say that? And I said, you told us we were green. He's dark green, I'm light green, but we're green. He goes, you understand, now I'm going to treat you worse. You know, and he punished me more for being smart, you know. But that's what we do, we were green, right? But look at what Romans chapter 6 says this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin and by grace abound? By no means. How can we? If we die to sin, how can we live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been what? Baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Okay? You were buried therefore with him by baptism to death. That means when, you know, symbolic. When we go underneath the water, we're saying goodbye to the old Santiago. Goodbye to the old John, to the old Maria, to the old Tom. That person is gone. And then we come out of the water, it's the 2.0 version. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We've been raised with Christ from the dead by the glory of the Father that we might walk, what? In the newness of life. Somebody that has been baptized with Christ looks completely different, should look completely different. The old is gone, the new has come. When I was at Moody, I got to talk to a missionary who was part, he was doing a missionary in Western Russia by the Chinese border. And he says, we baptize very few people. And I said, why? He says, in my country, he says, anyone who gets baptized, and we have to do it in the rivers, right? We baptize people in the rivers. The secret police comes and watches you and takes pictures and takes your name. And they will come visit you at night. And either they will haul you to jail or they will kill you on sight. So the missionary says, hey, do you want me to baptize you? Understand, you're going to get killed. Still want to get baptized? And they're like, oh, I don't know. He's like, I'm baptizing you. I'm like, man, could you imagine if you get baptized at Long Grove Church and the secret police is waiting and say, oh, Tom, very good. Okay, cool. We'll come see you tonight, you know? And it meant the death sentence. We have to live like that, ladies and gentlemen. We have to live like, hey, I don't care what happens. They come visit me at night. Okay, who am I with? I'm with him. I don't represent myself, I represent him. That's what it means, right? And then this, you're teaching them to observe awe. And here's the formula, ready? Here's what we want to do. Information, which I'm giving to you, okay? Plus inspiration, that's what they did. Plus application, that's what you do, equals transformation. Okay? Information plus inspiration plus application equals transformation. It would be sinful, and I remember Luke and I and our staff, we talked about this, right? We wanted every Sunday that when you walk in here, that you walk out completely different. That you've been transformed because you heard the word of God inspire your mind and lift up your heart. And you were inspired to draw near to him and to worship him because you see him even if you're doubting, okay? And then take it and apply it so that you walk out these doors saying, I know which team I belong. Why? Because they're waiting for me and I'm going to go score for Jesus. Then you are transformed into the one that looks like the one supposed to look like. Amen? If you miss one of those three parts, we're not being a good disciple. And you need to be good disciples, okay? If you're here, you got to listen. Oh, my gosh, I got to hurry up. Dr. Daryl Farney said it like this, and this is true. Dr. Daryl Farney, who sits right there, he said like this. We in America, we're educated beyond our obedience. We're educated beyond our obedience because the goal is for you to obey. He says, teaching them to observe. Okay, not just see it, but say, oh, I know what it means. I know what he wants me to do, and now I'm going to do it. Okay, to observe means to do it. Oh, my gosh, I'm only down my second point. Last one. I got to do this in 3 minutes. Ready? Number three. Disciples are never making other disciples by themselves. You are never by yourself. The construction is this, in verse 20, second part. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The construction here in the original Greek, the I is twice. It's spelled out ego emi. I know that from Greek, but it's like I, even I, am with you to the end. That's how it's pronounced. And Christ is saying, hey, I, even I, am with you to the very end. I'm with you. You are never alone in any of this. So this is why we have to go. And when we go, we don't go by ourselves. The goal is to make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter who they are. We're sharing the gospel with them. Let me close like this, okay? Wow. Okay. How many of you ever watched Superman growing up? I remember seeing the black and white Superman. Anybody remember seeing the black and white Superman? There you go, a couple of us, right? It was cool, right? The black and white Superman. And then I saw the new one, right? It was pretty cool. And the new one, she says, she's interviewing him, and he's there in his thing, and she goes, why do you got an S on your chest? He goes, no, that means hope. My name is Hope. And he goes, no, here it means S. Well, I remember watching the Superman show, sitting there like that, and he goes, let me find a booth. And he goes into the booth, and he changed, he comes out, and people would be like, oh, my God, it's a plane, it's a bird, it's who? Superman. This is what we need. We need some people to find their prayer closet, okay, and go in and come out completely transformed under the authority of Christ, going, baptizing, and teaching everybody to go and knowing that you're not by yourself. So when the world sees us, they go, oh, it's a plane. It's a bird. Oh, I know those guys. Oh, those are those saints from Long Grove Community Church. That's them right there. I see them, there they go. And that S on their chest, that's not for Superman, that's for saints. It's not for Superman, it's for sanctified. It's not Superman to say, hey, I'm come because I'm sent. I'm going. See, I need people, you and me, we got to be bridge builders, ladies and gentlemen, because it's about this. This is the mission. All right? This is what we're called to do. This is our what? How many are going to be bridge builders with me? Two people, okay. If you're going to be a bridge builder with me, before we worship, this is a kind of holy time right now. Come with the Lord and say, God, I'm going to do like Isaiah, Lord. Here I am. Would you send me? If you're willing to go, be obedient, not perfect, but just obey, would you stand up? Amen. Heavenly Father, you are our hallelujah. So here we are. We just want to go. We want to go where you tell us to go. Say what you want us to say. Be what you want us to be, Lord. There is no other room for anything else except for you in this world. So here's your church in humble obedience, God, Lord, saying, here I am, Lord, send me. We will go. We will be bridge builders to our communities. Wherever you send us, we will go. We will not go in our own power because all authority has been given to you and you are sharing with us. We're going to go, baptize, and teach, Lord. And we know that you are with us to the very end, no matter what, and we are with each other. So for that, we say thank you, and we praise you. And the church of God said,
amen.
Let's worship.